Good morning. I feel like I must always say this on Epiphany Sunday, and that is that we have this assumption that there were three really old wise guys that came to visit Jesus, right? And nowhere in the Matthew text does it tell us there were three, right? I'm just giving that as a side note. I like to sometimes correct hymns that give us wrong impressions about theology. I do love the song We Three Kings, but we do not know how many there were. We just know there were three gifts. If you have ever tried quitting an old habit, it can be difficult. Anyone else feel this way? Whether it's a shopping addiction or gambling or something more serious like alcohol or drugs, overcoming and changing is hard. I was reading some addiction statistics this week, and it said that almost 21 million Americans have at least one addiction. That's a whole lot of people, right? Yet only 10% of them ever receive treatment. Now, this is something that is extremely personal to me, as my dad finally experienced 8 years of sobriety before he died. But he struggled with addiction, specifically to alcohol, for many, many years. And I remember as a child asking my mom, like, doesn't he love us enough to quit? These are things that I hear from people all of the time. But one of the things that I finally had to realize was until he made the choice, sobriety was never going to come. He had to choose to be transformed. He had to choose to take a new path and go a new way. And I think this is true for overcoming any bad habit, for stopping any behavior that harms us or causes us damage, either physically, emotionally, or in our relationships, that we have to make a choice to go another way. One of the things that I have heard is that when people try to quit smoking, one of the things they often say is, one of the hardest places it was for me when I finally decided to quit was in the car. Because every time I got in the car, I wanted to light up a cigarette. And so one of the things that doctors advise in that situation is they say, well, have you tried taking a different way to wherever you're going? Because we are people of habit, right? Every morning when we go to work, we get in the car, we buckle our seatbelt, I hope, right? And we go the same way. And if there's any disruption, it almost causes us anxiety. I remember when I was in seminary, I had a 45-minute commute to class. And if you know me very well, I am not an early morning person. Anyone know that yet? Some of you have figured that out, I think. Not a morning person. I do not like to get up before 7:30 in the morning. And so 45-minute commute, 8 o'clock class, rush hour traffic. And it would always give me anxiety when I would pull up my traffic map and see there was an accident somewhere, and I would have to take a different way. But sometimes taking a different way is the only way that we will change our behavior. As we enter into our text this morning, it ends with that very instruction to the wise men. They were told to go a different way home so as not to encounter Herod again. That moment at the manger, when they came to this place, when they stopped just below the star, and they got a glimpse at that probably 2-year-old Jesus, who was not nearly as cute as I'm sure he was when he was a baby. But in that moment, they decided to take a new way, to be changed, to be challenged. And I think this is the same call that we have today. This last Sunday of our Christmas season, where we come together and we stand in awe of this newborn baby, where we stand below this beautiful star, and then we say, now what? We've come. We've paid him homage. We've brought our gifts. But we can't stay here. We must leave. And the choice comes, do we go back the same way and do the same thing? Or when we start this new year, do we go a different road? The star is one of those iconic symbols from Christmas, right? If you get a Christmas card in the mail, typically it has a bright, shining star on it. My necklace this morning has a star from Jerusalem. Stars are everywhere, and they are a part of this Christmas season. We place them atop our tree, right? Some people put an angel, I guess. We put stars in our house. Anybody star people on their Christmas tree? Angel people? Some of us? Okay. But stars are part of our tradition. They're something we long for. They're something we sing about with excitement and with joy. But there's something about this star that if you think about it, especially when you read Matthew's gospel here, that there's something a little bit ominous about the Christmas star. And Matthew seems to agree with us. If we read what Jim just read for us, it says, in that time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is this child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed a star at his rising, and we have come to pay him homage. So at this point, the wise men get what this star means. That the king of the Jews have been born, and they know that they are called to come and to worship and to bring their gifts. But then it says, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened. Now, of course, the king was frightened, right? Because he had heard the prophecy of old that said a king would be born in Bethlehem. And he knew he was the king. And if you know anything about kings in history, they don't really like it when they're dethroned. They don't really like it when a new king comes into power. It's kind of like a dog in the backyard. If he smells another dog's pee, he gets really territorial, right? He does not like people encroaching in on his territory. And so Herod is not too happy that there is this new king, especially a new king that these wise men from the east have come to worship. He wants them to worship him, not some baby in a smelly stall. But it's not just Herod. It's not just this selfish reason that causes him fear. It's not just his fear of losing power and control. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, but also all of Jerusalem was frightened too. Everyone, it says, was scared. And I can't help but wonder if Herod, who of course gets so very much wrong all of the time, actually gets something a little bit right. That this star is scary. This star is not something that simply brings us joy and good feelings, but maybe it's something we should be a little scared of. Because you know what? Christmas is scary. Because it calls us to change. It calls us to be transformed. It calls us to take new paths home. It calls us to relinquish our power and to look at the world in a new way. And that is scary. I told you Statistically, 21 million Americans suffer from some sort of addiction, right? But only 10% of them seek change. And you know why? I think it's because for the most of us, we don't really want to change. As Christians, we hear texts in the Bible that say, for behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Or God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Or in Revelation, it says, behold, I am making all things new. Or in Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. But is that really what we want? Do we really want to follow the star, or does it bring us fear? I know for me, it brings me a lot of fear. I know sometimes we dismiss King Herod and we think, oh, he's the evil guy in the story. He's the villain. But in so many ways, we're just like him. So this Christmas, as it comes to an end and we begin a new year, the star is not an ending point. It's a beginning. It's a step in a new direction. And our question is, where do we go from here? As you leave this place this morning, I hope your hearts are strangely warmed, and that you hear God calling you in new ways to reach new people for Jesus. And that you too can be transformed by this star and take a new way home. Let's pray. God, on this Epiphany Sunday, I give you thanks. I thank you for your word in Matthew, and for this strange calling that you offered to the wise men. That when they came and they knelt before you, O God, they took a new path. God, today I don't know where that path is leading us, but sometimes I know it's full of fear and anxiety. But God, I just ask that you would illumine our path, and that you would show us the way and allow us to hear where you are calling us this day and every day. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.